जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। थैंक यू। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाए। श्री वामन देव अपियरेंस डे इन प्रेपरेशन ऑफ की जाए। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। कैन आई हैव श्रीमद भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो प्लीज। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। थैंक यू। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 30 टेक्स्ट नंबर 13। कंडो प्रम्लोचया लब्धा, कन्या कमललोचना, ताम चापविद्धाम जग्रुर, भूरुहा नृपनंदना। कंडो प्रम्लोचया लब्धा, कन्या कमललोचना, ताम चापविद्धाम जग्रुर, भूरुहा नृपनंदना। कंडो प्रम्लोचया लब्धा, कन्या कमललोचना ताम चाप विद्धाम जग्रुर भूरुहा नृपनंदना। कंडो प्रमलोचया लब्धा कन्या कमललोचना भूरुहा नृपनंदना। Ladies, please. Kando pramlochaya labdha kanya kamalalochana tam chapavidham jagrur bhuruha nripanandana. कंडो प्रमलोचया लब्धा कन्या कमललोचना ताम चाप विद्धाम जगरो भूरुहा नृपनंदना। कंडो ऑफ द सेज कंडु प्रमलोचया बाय अ हेवनली सोसाइटी गर्ल नेम्ड प्रमलोचा Labdha, obtained. Kanya, daughter. Kamalalochana, lotus-eyed. Tam, her. Cha, also. Apavidham, given up. Jagruhu, accepted. Bhuruhaha, the trees. Nripanandanaha, O sons of King Prachina Barhishat. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Ki jai. O sons of King Prachina Barhishat, the heavenly society girl named Pramlocha kept the lotus-eyed daughter of Kandu in the care of forest trees. Then she went back to the heavenly planet. This daughter was born by the coupling of the apsara named Pramlocha with the sage Kandu. Purport. Whenever a great sage undergoes severe austerities for material power, the king of heaven, Indra, becomes very envious. All the demigods have responsible posts for the management of universal affairs and are very highly qualified with pious activities. Although they are ordinary living entities, they are able to attain responsible posts like Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra and Varuna. As is the nature of this material world, the King of Heaven Indra is very anxious if a great sage undergoes severe austerities. The whole material world is filled with such envy that everyone becomes afraid of his neighbors. Every businessman is afraid of his associates because of this material world is the field of activities for all kinds of envious people who have come here to compete with the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, Indra was very much afraid of the severe austerities performed by this great sage Kandu, and he sent Pramlocha to break his vows and austerities. A similar incident took place in the case of Vishwamitra. From other incidents in the Shastras, it appears that Indra has always been envious. When King Prithu was celebrating various sacrifices, outdoing Indra. Indra became very envious and he disturbed King Prithu's sacrifice. This has already been discussed in previous chapters. King Indra became successful in breaking the vow of the great sage Kandu, who became attracted by the beauty of the heavenly society girl named Pramlocha and begot a female child. This child is described herein as lotus-eyed and very beautiful. Being thus successful in her mission, Pramlocha returned to the heavenly planets, leaving the newborn child to the care of the trees. Fortunately, the trees accepted the child and agreed to raise her. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I will also read text 14, which has like two lines of purport. Thereafter the child, who was left to the care of the trees, began to cry in hunger. At that time the king of the forest, namely the king of the moon planet, out of compassion placed his finger, which poured forth nectar, within the child's mouth. Thus the child was raised by the mercy of the king of the moon. Although the Apsara left her child to the care of the trees could not take care of the child properly. Therefore the trees handed the child over to the king of the moon. Thus Chandra, king of the moon, put his finger within the mouth of the child to satisfy her hunger. And then Lord Vishnu gives instructions to the Prachaitas. Today is Ekadashi. And tomorrow is Dvadashi. And tomorrow is a very significant day. Tomorrow is the appearance day of Lord Vamana. Tomorrow is also the appearance of Sri Jiva Goswami. Now, we are fasting till noon today in observance of Vamana's appearance tomorrow. Because today is Ekadashi, and tomorrow we're supposed to have grains. But we cannot have grains because it's the Lord's appearance day. So the way it is adjusted is we fast until noon from anything. And at noon we have Ekadashi Mahaprasada and break our Ekadashi Vrata tomorrow. So we are observing, we're fasting for Lord Vamana's appearance tomorrow, today. So I thought we'll discuss a little about Lord Vamana there because it's a fantastic pastime. And it has something to do with Lord Indra, and here Lord Indra is being mentioned. So the Prachaitas have performed a severe austerity to have very powerful progeny that will populate the universe. After 10,000 years of meditation under the sea, they have darshan of the personality of Godhead in his eight-armed form, and he is telling them he's making a proposal, there is a young girl, her name is the name's not given, Kamala Lochana. She has lotus petal-like eyes, and she's the daughter of Maharaj Kandu and Pramlocha. And Prabhupada says, Pramlocha is the heavenly society girl. Her only business is to disturb the sages. She's employed by Lord Indra So Maharaj Kandu was performing very severe penance and austerity. And Lord Indra became uncomfortable. And the purport Prabhupada basically says that Lord Indra always becomes uncomfortable, it seems like, when someone is performing meditation. Because Lord Indra, in this sense, personifies sort of insecurity. That, if he becomes very powerful, then he will want my position. So I should make sure that he will not get my position. It's called being attached to the chair. You guys don't know Hindi. So I will say something in Hindi and I'll try to translate it to as well as I can. When politicians, now is the election time. So politicians promise a lot of things. Tax break, healthcare reform, whatever they promise. So in India also there was a politician. So the crowd, they were protesting against the politician. Because the politicians are very good at giving speeches and not really good at doing anything beneficial. So the people said, Bhashan nahi, rashan do. Rashan nahi, to asan do. Meaning, you understand? Bhashan nahi means don't give you all your speeches. Rashan do means give us food. Basically, we're starving. Of course, if you translate this, this kills the whole thing. But anyway, Rashan do, give us food. We don't want your high-sounding lectures and speeches. And Rashan nahi, to asan do. If you don't give us food, then you give up your seat. And everyone, it is said that people are become attached to position. This is a problem. This is the nature of this material world. People become very attached to their designation, position, upadhi. I am such and such. I am such and such. And they become attached to it. And they identify their sense of existence, power, value, according to that position. So one devotee came and he offered obeisances in front of me and he said, I should offer obeisances because you're temple president. I said, so tomorrow if I'm not, you'll not offer obeisances? What about being a devotee? We should offer obeisances to each other because we're devotees. Today this position is there, tomorrow that position will not be there. I mean, there's no guarantee, nobody said. Anything can happen. One time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk. What is this? Sweet pastime. One time Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk and he stopped by a tree and just near the tree was, you know, a lot of bird droppings. So Prabhupada said with his cane, what is this? So the devotees didn't know what to say. I mean, what did they say? Bird droppings? Prabhupada said, lot of bird droppings. You know what this means? This means that the same bird is sitting on this branch every day. And he's thinking, this is my branch. So like this, people can become very attached to my service, my position. This is mine. And that's so terrible. So our principle, the teaching that we have to follow, is that we have to be attached to serving, not to the service. We are attached to serving. So Krishna says, do this service, then we do that service like there's no tomorrow. And then Krishna says, do that service, then we do that service like there's no tomorrow. We are attached to serving. Whatever is the service, we're attached to serving. And our attached to serving comes because we're attached to the master who gives the service. But the problem in this material world is we get attached to service. my service, because my designation, my position is according to that identification with that service. Ah, such and such service. So here's the problem. It is coming from Lord Indra. Indra, the one who takes the position of Lord Indra, he has performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And no one else can do it. It's not easy. Even if someone tries to do it, he'll meet with the Heavenly Society girl. Or if someone tries very severe austerities, they will also meet with the Heavenly Society girl. Either it's Menaka, Pramlocha, Urvashi, Ramba, Menaka, some one of those persons. So better to be careful, not to compete with Lord Indra. That's the point. Anyway, we don't have to worry about it. We're not performing Ashwamedha Yajna, nor are we that austere. So Lord Indra doesn't worry about us. We're under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada and we're fine. Now, Lord Indra is not always like this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead takes many incarnations within this world simply to assist Indra or shelter Indra. Ete cham shakala pumsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indra ari, enemies of Indra, indrari vyakulam lokam. When the world is in distress because of the enemies of Indra, mridhayanti yuge yuge, the Lord appears millennium after millennium just to help Indra. Help Indra means the demigods by definition are within the modes of goodness or governed by the mode of goodness. And the Supreme Lord, for the sake of maintenance of the universe, would like to see that the mode of goodness is prevalent. While these persons are in the mode of goodness, Prabhupada says, sometimes they become affected by envy. One such time, the leader of all the demons, Daityas, or the sons of Diti, headed by Bali Maharaj, fought with Indra and all the demigods. The demigods were very, very strong. And in the battle, all the demons, many of the demons were killed, including Bali Maharaj. Then Bali Maharaj's guru, Shukracharya, he performed a very special medical procedure using mantras and brought Bali Maharaj back to life. Shukracharya has this capacity. Not only did he bring Bali Maharaj back to life, he made Bali Maharaj invincible. So Bali Maharaj, along with the demons, charged again towards Indra. And when it's described that when the entire army marched towards the heavenly realm, especially the city of Amravati, where Indra lives, Indra and the demigods became very nervous. And they didn't know what to do. So they ran to their guru, Brihaspati. I can give more purports if you like. This pastime is very nice. This is a proper trait of character, that whenever there is a problem, better than speculating what to do, it is always safe to go to a learned person, especially the guru. So Indra went to Brihaspati. And Brihaspati told him, Bali Maharaj has just been revived and he is very, very powerful right now. You want my advice? You should run away. Just leave Amaravati and go away. Don't fight. Because if you fight, this will harm you. So Indra and all the demigods, they left Amaravati and went away. So when the Daityas came, they were expecting a challenge. They were expecting some defense. But this was no defense. They just walked into Amaravati and they were laughing. No challenge at all. And they occupied the entire heavenly realm. So naturally, Indra, they were all jobless and they were feeling like this is not right because we are meant to rule the world, rule the universe. So Indra was in exile. Now Indra's mother, Aditi, she also left Amravati. After all, Bali Maharaj is her nephew, right? Her sister is Diti, and Bali Maharaj was occupying. So Bali Maharaj would take care of Aditi very well. There's always respect. But as far as the mothers and aunts are concerned, they have no problem. It's the brothers have a problem. But she left because how can she stay in a palace when her son is in exile? So she went and stayed in the ashram of Kashyapa Muni. Kashyapa Muni had many wives. Two of them are very popular, Diti and Aditi. There are others also, Kadru and etc. Kadru is Garuda's mother, etc. But he was always living in the forest, in a hermitage. So Aditi went to live with him. And she felt very sorry for her son. Along with feeling sorry, she also had inimical feelings towards Bali Maharaj. Although nephew, how can he put my son into exile? He needs to be taught a lesson. She wanted to have a son who will be powerful enough to kill Bali Maharaj, to fight with Bali Maharaj. So she asked Kashyapa Muni, please grant me such a son. I have this vengeance brewing in my heart. Kashyapa Muni knew mothers are attached like that. And he couldn't say no. Even if he said no, she wouldn't listen. It is described that the first thing she broke into is tears. And these are very powerful. It is said that when a woman cries, doesn't matter how austere and strict the husband can be, he has to melt. They're very powerful. Tears are very powerful. Has to melt. Melt. He has to give in. It's like, okay. So anyway, so she went through her story. This is what's going on. That's what's going on. And he just heard her. And then he had to do something for her. So as a devoted husband, he's a devotee of Lord Vishnu. He said, the best way that I can purify her consciousness is to give her some vrata that is directly connected to Lord Vishnu. So with that vrata, she might get purified. So he told her, all right, perform this particular vrata called payovrata. Paya means milk. Said you should drink only milk for the next 12 days. I mean, that's not it. That's just the one meaning. Don't eat anything else. Just drink rabdi for 12 days. Said, and for 12 days, you should perform very severe austerities. Wake up early in the morning, take a cold bath, sleep on the floor, don't eat anything else. Invite great sages, cook for them, serve them. And recite these prayers. There's a whole list. There's a whole chapter called the Payovrata. And so she very, very sincerely did it. She did it because she accepted her husband, Kashyapa Muni, as her guru. So this is the principle. In this chapter, the principle is the Lord Vishnu appeared to the Prachetas because they very sincerely carried out the order of their father, who was like a guru to them. Mother Aditi performed these austerities because she followed very steadfastly the order of her guru, Kashyapa Muni. So the Supreme Lord on the 13th day appeared to her. So this is a question I have for myself. For some persons, Hiranyakashipu performed this austerity for 1,000 years. The Lord never showed up. Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerity for 6 months. Prachetas performed their austerity for 10,000 years. Dhruva Maharaj for 6 months. Aditi only 12 days. And the Lord appeared and heard her story and promised her, "You're very, very sincere, very chaste. And I'm also very, feeling very good or feeling very loving towards Kashyapa Muni. And I will appear as your son." And just the fact that she saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead standing in front of her, she was overcome with such divine ecstasy that she forgot the whole vengeance against Bali Maharaj. Naturally, that's the effect of being in the presence of the Lord. So, practical for us is our hearts are filled with competitiveness, envy. Right? Envy, the manifestation of envy in the material realm is we're competing. We're competing against each other, and primordially we're competing with Krishna. Even as devotees, practicing devotees, when we compete with each other, we're still competing with Krishna. That's the whole problem. Our competition is with Krishna. It manifests with each other. So we come from this environment, the educational environment, the sports environment, where everything is so competitive. Everything that everyone does, you have to be the best. So the material world nurtures envy. It's feeding. So when you feed bananas to a snake, what happens? Becomes more poisonous. So we are in this world because of envy. And when we feed and we put our children, we put ourselves and we put others in the position of or in the environment of competitiveness, we increase their envy. We increase our own envy. He said, the Shastra says that there are two envious entities, the snake and the human being. And of these two, the more dangerous one is the human one. So we come from that environment. There's so much competition for everything. Because primordially the competition is with Krishna. Everyone wants to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here. Because this material world is the field of activities for all kinds of envious people who have come here to compete with the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the way to get rid of that envy is to be in contact with Krishna, be in His presence. On a practical platform, when we recognize that we have envy, it's not a case of if, right? It is there. Just as a matter of when we recognize that we are envious. When we do recognize that we are envious, the antidote for envy is respect and service. Service is a little more intimate, so it may be difficult, but that's the actual solution or antidote. But minimally, respect. If we express our respect to another person, we become free of envy towards that person. Envy is the flip side of respect, actually. For example, if a person has good qualities and we don't like those qualities, we are always talking about those qualities, are we not? Oh, why does that person have to be so humble? Why does that person always have to be so respectful? Why does that person always have to be so blah, whatever? We're appreciating those qualities, except in a negative or an unfavorable way. So the antidote for envy is to respect properly. Ah, person is very humble. Person is very respectful. The person is very, whatever, modest and meek, or gentle, simple. When we respect like that, the envy within our own heart begins to dilute and go away. So, Aditi, when she performed the Payovrata, because of that vrata, being in contact with the Personality of Godhead through the chanting of mantra and for the austerities to please Lord Vishnu, she became purified. So when the Lord said, I will appear as your son, she was overjoyed. She was happy. So I'm going to read something from this chapter. This is the 8th canto, chapter 18. Lord Vamanadeva, the dwarf incarnation. So, text number, I'm just going to read a few translations and speak. Shukadeva Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. And this is how he appeared. Not covered with blood and mucus and crying. This is how he appeared. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. This is the appearance of Lord Vamana from the womb of Aditi. The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful, and on his bosom was the mark of Sri Vatsa. He wore bangles in his wrists, armlets on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle belts decorating his lotus feet. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom, and because the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees, making their natural humming sounds, invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared, wearing the Kaustubh gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness in the home of Prajapati Kashyapa. At that time, there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all living entities in the upper planetary system, in outer space and on the surface of the earth, were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and the hills and mountains were all filled with joy. This is tomorrow. On the day of Shravana Dvadashi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion Shravana at the auspicious moment of Abhijit. Abhijit is the constellation of stars at the horizon when the sun rises. The Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. O King, when the Lord appeared on Dvadashi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at the meridian, and as every learned scholar knows, this Dvadashi is called Vijaya. Vijaya means complete victory. And because the Lord has appeared, everyone is victorious, and that he heralds, or is the harbinger of victory. So he is Vijaya. Conch shells, kettle drums, Parnavas and Anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls danced in jubilation. The best of the Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, Manus, Pitas, and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Kimpurushas, Kinnaras, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Suparnas, the best of the serpents and the followers of all the demigods all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. Wow. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jai, Jai," in great happiness and wonder. The Lord appeared in his original form, with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Like that. Four-armed form, bedecked with all jewels and helmets and beautiful garland, poof! Appeared as a Brahmana dwarf. And that was a description of a Brahmana dwarf. When the great sages saw the Lord as a brahmachari dwarf Vamana, they were certainly very pleased. Thus they placed before them Kashyapa Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all the ritualistic ceremonies, such as the birthday ceremony. Now, he was not born like most human beings are born, so there is no certain samskaras are not performed. Like the, one of the first samskaras is annaprashana, first grains. He was already a brahmachari dwarf, like a young man, young adult almost. Yeah, brahmacharyam is about 5. Here in this case, is 5 or 6 years old. So if the first grains are fed when they are 6 months. So they skip that samskara, and the samskara that they perform is called upanayana. Upanayana means the brahmana, giving of the brahmana thread. In Sanskrit, upa means subordinate or younger. Like Vamana is called Upendra, right? Upa Indra, younger than or subordinate to Indra, because he is the youngest brother of Indra. So Upanayana, Nayana means vision or eye. Upanayana is the ceremony when the boy officially becomes a subordinate to his guru and learns everything. And the sacred thread, the Brahmana thread, is the adhikar, the qualification to recite Vedic mantras, to learn Vedic truths. This is like the preparation for it, the qualification for it. So the Upanayana ceremony was performed, and this description is very, very sweet, because at Upanayana ceremony, gifts are given. And so here are all the gifts given to Lord Vamana by the personalities in the universe. At the sacred thread ceremony of Vamana Deva, the sun god personally uttered the Gayatri mantra into the ear of Vamana Deva. Brihaspati offered the sacred thread, and Kashyapa Muni offered a straw belt. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who is the king of the forest, gave him a Brahmadanda, the rod of a brahmachari. His mother Aditi gave him cloth for underwear, Kopina, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him an umbrella. Indra gave him an umbrella. O king, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. The 7 sages offered him kusha grass, and Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads. When Vamana Deva had thus been given the sacred thread, Kuvera, king of the Yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms. And Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva, and most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him his first alms. So, having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamana Deva, the best of the brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahman effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmanas. After Lord Sri Vamana Deva set a sacrificial fire, he offered worship and performed a fire sacrifice on the sacrificial field. When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashwamedha sacrifices under the patronage of brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord, who is full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step. So when he walked, the earth also shook by his steps. Although he was just short dwarf brahmana. The song by Jayadeva Goswami, called the Dashavatara song, this glorifies the Lord in all His wonderful forms. When He is glorifying Vamana Deva, He says, Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamana Padanakha Nira Janita Jana Pavana Keshava Dhruta Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Chalayasi Vikramane. Chalayasi. Chala means cheating or tricking someone. Chalayasi Vikramane. Krama means step. And Vikrama means majestic or very big steps. Chalayasi Vikramane. Balim Adbhuta Vamana. Although he was a dwarf, he was able to place, his pace was very, very big. So anyway, Bali Maharaj was performing Ashwamedha Yajna on the northern bank of River Narmada in a place called Brighukacha. And Lord Vamanadeva, because he had a begging bowl, his first duty was to beg for his guru. So they sent him, go there and beg from Bali Maharaj. So he appeared at the sacrificial arena. It's described that when he was coming from a distance, it was as if many, many suns had risen simultaneously. So Bali was struck with wonder by that effulgence. He said, who is that? What is that effulgence? So Shukracharya told him, that is a Brahmana. His name is Vamana. Oh, by the way, that is Vishnu in disguise. Be careful. He has come to ask you, so be very careful what you give him. Oh, Lord Vishnu has come. Fantastic. He stopped the sacrifice and stood up and ran to meet and to greet and receive Vamanadeva. And he gave Vamana a nice seat, spoke nice words, washed Vamana's feet and drank the water from his feet, sprinkled it on his head and said, my entire dynasty has become purified and glorified by your coming to this sacrificial arena. So this is how we receive great Brahmanas, that by their appearance, generations of families become purified. So when he received Vamanadeva and he said, you're a Brahmana, you have come to this sacrifice. My duty is to give in charity. Please ask something. So Vamanadeva, dwarf means the torso is bigger or longer and the legs are shorter. So Vamana said, I don't want anything. I don't want to be greedy. I just want 3 paces of land. So Bali chuckled. He said, that's it? What will you do in 3 paces of land? So it's described, 3 paces of land signifies land enough for our grave. So Devaki Nandan Prabhu, when he was speaking this past time, he was saying, if we pace 3 steps, we will notice that that's how long our body is. And that's all we need, some place for a grave. So he was being very simple-minded. He said, I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to ask more than what I can handle. 3 paces of land only, please. So he looked at him and said, your legs are also short. How much land can you take? He says, I am now the emperor of the entire universe. The entire heavenly kingdom is under my jurisdiction. Ask for more. Ask for wealth, ask for jewels, ask for land, ask for silken garments, ask for king, ask for anything. It's all yours. No, no. 3 paces of land, please. He said, you don't seem to be a very intelligent Brahmana. Take more. No, no. 3 paces of land, please. All right. So be it. As soon as he offered water in the hands of Vamana, to finish or complete his vow, Vamana became huge, so huge that he was shocked. Like, what happened? What happened? Suddenly this Brahman has become so gigantic. I cannot even see him. And Vamana said, I'm ready for my first pace. And with one pace, he covered the entire lower planetary systems. All Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Patala, all finished in one pace. Everybody was astounded. Of course, I missed a point here. Shukracharya told him, don't give in charity. This is Vishnu. And Bali Maharaj said, I'm sorry, I cannot follow that instruction. I have to worship Lord Vishnu. Prabhupada describes, Shukracharya means seminal guru. Shukra means seminar. So in India, many people have Kul Guru, Kul Devi, all this. Kul Guru, Kul Devi. It doesn't work. They're not cool. Kula. Kula means family. Seminal gurus who have been blessing the family for many generations. So they're not cool gurus. They're uncool. The real guru is Krishna and the Sampradaya. Otherwise, they're all uncool. Everyone else is uncool. So Shukracharya means seminal guru. Seminal gurus are always interested in their own materialistic security. Because Shukracharya was worried, hey, I'm helping him do all this sacrifice. And when he's supposed to give in charity to the Brahmanas, he's going to give me something really, you know, opulent. If he gives it to this Vishnu, finished. There won't be anything left for me. That was Shukracharya's mentality. So he told him, don't give to Vishnu. Don't give to Vishnu. So anyway, with the first pace, the entire lower planetary system was covered. The second pace, he lifted his foot and covered the entire upper planetary system. Bhu, Bhuvar, Swarg, Mahar, Jana, Tapab, Satyaloka, everything covered. And not only that, his toe pierced the universal coverings. Padanakha Neera. Padanakha means the nail on the toe. Padanakha Neera. Neera is water. Janita. Neera Janita is Ganges. The water that comes or is within this universe by the touch of the nail on his toe is Mother Ganges. Janita Pavana. She's the one who's very purifying because she's touched the feet of Vamana. And Lord Shiva accepts that water on his head. So just for context, it is described by Sadaputa Prabhu, late Sri Sadaputa Prabhu, that if the universe is the size of a ball bearing, okay, a 2-inch ball bearing, 2-inch ball bearing, let's say, our universe is 4 billion miles in diameter, according to. So that if that is 2 inches, then the coverings of the universe are a few miles long. So when Vamana poked the universal covering, you can imagine how big that nail must be on his toe. Anyway, he poked through the coverings of the universe and Mother Ganges entered. Padanakha Neera Janit Jana Pavana. And Bali Maharaj was astounded. And the Lord said, you gave me promise that you'll give me 3 paces of land. 2, I've covered the universe. Now what to do? What do I do with the 3rd pace? And you have to fulfill your promise to a Brahmana. Not fulfilling a promise to a Brahmana is very unholy. It's not pious. You'll get severe reactions for it. That's the reaction. He loses his kingdom. And Indra gets his kingdom back. So he says, I don't have anything else except myself. Please place your foot on my head. And very happily, Lord Vamana places his foot on Bali's head and tells him, Sutala planet is for you. Go there. And I'm so pleased. There's also another pastime in this. As if that were not enough, because he was humiliated and all of his kingdom was taken away, the next step was Garuda came. And with ropes, tied Bali Maharaj as if he was a petty criminal. Usually when someone is very glorious, if they are handcuffed, then it's an insult. It's an insult. In America, they don't care. Everyone is handcuffed if they've broken the law. But in India, where there is some semblance of respect for someone's stature, the police will only escort them, you know, and then take them to jail. But Bali was incarcerated. So Bali's wife came crying. What is this? And she begged to the Lord, why are you doing like this? He has given up everything anyway to you. Why are you insulting him even more? The Lord didn't say anything, just kept quiet. All the demigods and the devatas and other persons recognized how great Bali was. So it's described that the adversity, yesterday Jai Jagannath Prabhu said it nicely, the adversity is a chance, is an opportunity for Krishna to glorify his devotee. How my devotees manage adversities. That's why they are great. Versus the ordinary persons, when circumstances are difficult, they also go away. Like a parrot, you teach a parrot to say Hare Krishna, and he very nicely says Hare Krishna. But the moment a cat appears, the parrot will not say Hare Krishna, he'll say, ah, something, and run away. So when everything is nice, everyone's chanting nicely and exhibiting all wonderful qualities, that's not the test. It's when there's a difficult circumstance, in the face of adversity, do our qualities shine forth? That's the test of a devotee. And Bali Maharaj is the exemplifying personality for such character. So in return, Lord Vamana took up the position, or has taken up the position, of a gatekeeper at the gates of Sutala planet, even today. And while Bali Maharaj is the reigning king of Sutala, Vamana Dev is still there. So that's the appearance and meditation on Lord Vamana's appearance, on Vamana's pastimes. Any question, comment on Kando Pramlo Chanaya Labdha Kanya Kamalalo Chana? Done.
So a lot of pastimes that we're hearing recently are highlighting the fact that position gives a lot of materialistic influence. So I can think of one answer, but why would anyone who's not like a pure devotee accept position, even a pure devotee? Why, you know, besides out of, you know, gratitude or something, or I want to serve, why would they accept a position, you know, knowing, like Priyavrata, knowing it's going to be entangling? It's like there's two things that are happening. It's like on one side we know simple axiom is like if something is not going to improve your Krishna consciousness, then don't do it. On the other side, if Krishna wants you to do something that's not going to improve your Krishna consciousness, then you should do it. But then, you know, there's examples of persons who didn't accept. So how is that? I mean, what is the finer thing? It's just they, in those circumstances, they know exactly that's what Krishna wants? Or there's some other internal disposition that makes them accept, you know, because Kumaras didn't accept, Bhishma Dev didn't accept, etc., like that.
What was the last part of the sentence?
Just now?
Yeah.
I said like that. Like them, like that. They didn't accept. Bhishma Deva, Kumaras.
Ah.
But then others, Priyavrata did accept, or Bali Maharaj's Prahlad Maharaj. He didn't get ordered to accept, but he didn't need to become a king. He was, you know, pure devotee. He accepted. So, you know, why one, why not the other one?
One would accept, first of all, within this universe, there are many, many positions, many services that need to happen for the universal maintenance. And not every position is taken by pure devotee, because manushyanam sahasrishu kashchadyate, they're not available, they don't. There is a principle that when one takes responsibility, one becomes purified. When one takes responsibility on behalf of Krishna, there is immense purification in it, first of all. If one takes responsibility without proper training or preparation, then there is high risk involved in that. Which does not mean that we should not take responsibility. It means we should get prepared properly. But we should take responsibility. It's important. Third is, an expression of gratitude is by taking responsibility. Prabhupada took the responsibility of being the acharya for the sampradaya. And although as a humble Vaishnava, that may not be something that he was aspiring to do, but that was an instruction. So he took that. In the case of Priyavrata, the example, even Priyavrata was hesitant. So Lord Brahma, Manu, Indra, all Narada Muni promised him, don't worry, you'll be protected. So the promise of protection is that there is the shelter of these personalities. In the case of Kumara's not taking, is Krishna's very specific arrangement, because Rudra had to manifest. That's the first appearance of anger within this universe. So there is Krishna also working to manifest things within this universe. So ultimately there is a vision plan of the Lord, and the taking of responsibility means accepting to become instruments of that will or plan. And so for this, these are great personalities. They've qualified themselves. Indra has qualified himself by performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. It's not a joke. It's not a joke to do 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Even one Ashwamedha Yajna is not a joke. You know? Something happens to the horse. Oof. Like Maharaj says, instead of coming out young, he comes out baked or broiled, finished. The king is finished, the brahman is finished, the entire kingdom is finished. It's dangerous. But 100 means the king himself must be so pious for that yajna to be successful. Yet they're all instruments for things to manifest, because within the modes of nature, they move as instruments of Krishna. Indra has certain things that he manifests so that Lord Vamana can appear, so that Vritrasura can be glorified. I mean, there's so many things. As a practical, one should not shy away from responsibility. One should become qualified to take responsibility. Whenever that comes, but one should become qualified. Is that right?
It's good, thank you. Can I follow up? Can I follow up?
Yeah, more? If you can speak a little louder though.
Sure, I'll put it closer. So like you mentioned, you gave the example of Srila Prabhupada. And I mean, the exalted person that he already was, Srila Prabhupada didn't come willingly even to the United States. From the way he expresses it in his humility is, Krishna asked me to come. I said, I don't want to go. So even Srila Prabhupada and his whole life was a preparation for him. But of course, his position was also the acharya for the entire world. So I guess the service has to be weighed in terms of the preparation, depending on how big the service is. So does that make sense?
To me, the word willing means that he was not greedy for that, or that's not a separate vision for himself. If the Lord said, do this, fine. Although I was not thinking about it. You want me to do it? Yes, I will do it. In the Krishna book, it's described the sons of Krishna, especially Pradyumna, was such that if Krishna wanted him to do this, but he himself was thinking of doing that, then he would abandon this and do this. If he did not want to do this, but Krishna wanted him to do that, then he would abandon that idea and do whatever Krishna wants. He would do or not do according to whatever Krishna wanted, not what he wanted. And that's described or glorified as his sense of submission to Krishna. So on his own, maybe Prabhupada may not have aspired for something like this, but that was an order. I mean, this the spirit of this section of verses we're discussing in Bhagavatam is how the order stands above personal considerations.
So even just further, because it goes with this, what we're just studying now, the Prachetas, their father was very clearly contaminated with fruitive mentality, and he gave them an instruction. So how do they know I'm going to follow this person? You know, this is my life and soul.
Because even if he's fruitive, he's very pious. We have from a pure devotional standpoint, we even look at piety as... But in general, piety is a very high platform. And for a pious father, when they're following his order, that's appreciated. But Lord Shiva took advantage of that piety and took them a next step, gave them a devotional situation. And they readily accepted Lord Shiva's direction, so the Lord appeared. The Lord appeared because of Lord Shiva's, following Lord Shiva's mercy. But inherently they had great obedience, and that's a good quality. Himanshu, you have something?
I was just trying to reconcile something you said at the beginning of class about attachments. You were saying we shouldn't become attached to the service, we should be attached to serving. But I was thinking there's so many practical examples of devotees who are dedicated to a particular service, like, say, for example, like, you know, in Mayapur, Pankajangri Prabhu.
Huh?
In Mayapur, yeah. Pankajangri Prabhu, they've been like pujaris for many years, and some people say that they don't want to take sannyas because they don't want to lose that service of being pujaris. I mean, I don't know how true that is, but we don't even have to go that far. You know, even in our current association, we see some devotees are particularly attached to a particular service, you know? And that's encouraging, it's nice, and it's very progressive. So, just trying to understand what you meant by that statement.
Yeah, I explained it, knowing well that it can be wrongly understood or not fully understood. And I explained it this way. If Krishna and Guru want us to do this service, then we perform that service like there's no tomorrow. It means we're very attached to that service. That service is very dear to us. If tomorrow Krishna says, do that service, what is higher priority? Krishna's request or my attachment to that service? My attachment to Krishna. If Krishna says, drop this service, pick up that service, we pick up that service. Oh Krishna, why are you snatching it away from me? Have I done something wrong? Are you upset with me? Please take that service. Our attachment is to Krishna. Our attachment is to the order of Krishna and Guru. When we are given an order to do some service, we do that service like our life depends on it. In one lecture, Srila Radhanath Maharaj explains that suppose we've been given the service of peeling a potato. That's the explanation he gives. Then we should peel the potato thinking that this is the perfection of my life. How I peel this potato is the perfection of my life. My life, my whole spiritual life depends upon how I peel this one potato. And 5 minutes later, someone comes, you know, a leader comes or whoever comes and gives an instruction. Now wash pots. Then we drop the potato and wash the pot thinking, my life depends, my perfection of my life depends upon how I wash this pot. Because we are attached to the person, not to this or that. So it doesn't mean that I do some whimsical, haphazard service like Henry. Not the Henry paradigm of washing pots. That's not like that.
Just to clarify, the most, so then in every situation it's kind of like, what is the service I'm being asked to perform?
That's correct. Right. Our attachment is to serving. I'm servant. If the master says do that, I do that. If the master says do this, I do this. Not that I decided I'll do that. What do you think? You'd say yes. Guru is not rubber stamp. And then if the guru says, enough of this service, please do that service. We get so bent out of shape, we even abandon the guru sometimes. There have been cases like that. The whole guru is put into question. Are you really thinking about my welfare? Like that. Because there is a sense of attachment to our identifying, a designation comes from that. I am the potato peeler. How dare someone else peel a potato? Who cares for pot washing? Potato peeling is so great. You can't even identify the potato once it goes into the sabji. You don't know which one you cut. Confirmed. Okay. Final words and then we'll stop. 8:40. Nice pastime, huh? Lord Vamanas. I really like this. Very nice.
I was thinking about the word envy. I don't know the complete context, but Srila Prabhupada had this fellow, this devotee, and he said, this devotee is free from envy. You know, I don't know, do you remember that? Anyways, another thing is Prabhupada said, he was in New York, and he liked the competition. He would see the Vaishyas or, right, you know, right. And he liked that, but then he said that this is not human civilization. But those kind of things just came to mind.
There is spiritual competition. There is material competition. Material competition means I win. Spiritual competition means you win. I dedicate my life to making you win. That is called spiritual competition. In an association of devotees, the perfection of my life is how I make sure that devotee wins or the devotees win. In a material sense, in whatever sangha, I win. So to make someone else win, we have to serve them. That is spiritual competition. Do we have time? I can narrate a short pastime of Radha and Krishna. One time, Srimati Radharani was on a swing with Krishna. And Krishna took the swing, first gentle and then a little fast and then super high and like this. So Radharani got very scared and she tightly held on to Krishna. And he loved that. So that was the whole idea of doing it. So he swung it even more high and she was like, ah. Then she asked Krishna to stop the swing. And she got off the swing and asked Lalita Devi to sit. And her mood was, it was so nice to hold on to Krishna like that. Lalita, you should also experience that. After Lalita, then Vishak, and all the gopis had their turns, and she was making sure that everyone gets a turn. This is spiritual competition. They should win. Everyone should also experience that. Versus Radharani didn't think, oh, most coveted, I am the internal potency, you're, you know, Lalita Vishaka. I will, this is great. You can glorify songs about me swinging with Krishna. No, that was not her mood at all. She got off. Here you go. Of course, the Srimati Radharani's high platform, but it's instructive as to how we operate within Sangha Vaishnavas. Okay, thank you very much. Ekadashi Mahavrata ki jai, Lord Vamana ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhagavatam ki jai. My phone ki jai.